O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Do not leave us comfortless. Our collect today expresses perhaps the same feelings as the disciples must have felt who stood as they watched Jesus going up into heaven. They had been through his crucifixion, and then they had been amazed by his resurrection. Somehow their leader, their friend who had died, was alive again. They had 40 days of seeing him, eating with him, laughing with him, walking with him. If even death had not taken him away from them, then surely, finally, this man would be with them forever. And surely he would get on with restoring the kingdom of Israel, ridding them of the oppressive Roman Empire. For the first time in this earthly life, perhaps finally they could count on this relationship with Jesus to be permanent, to be unchanging. But no. Suddenly, as he's standing among them, he just disappears up into heaven. And they're told to wait, that someone else will come to be with them. And liturgically, this one Sunday, we just wait with them. In our liturgical calendar, we celebrated Ascension this past Thursday, but Pentecost is not until next Sunday when we will celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit among us. For this week, we're left in between. This week, Jesus has left, and we don't know what will come next. And sometimes I think this Sunday is truer to how we feel in this life than Pentecost Sunday. Even 2,000 years later, I think there is still grief for us in the fact that Jesus in the flesh is no longer among us. I think we still stand in this limbo with the disciples sometimes. How often do we think that if Jesus were just still here, our world would be so much better? In a letter to Jesus about the Ascension, writer Rachel Held Evans says, "I can't help but think that if you'd stayed a little longer, we might have avoided the Crusades, or the Great Schism, or that time we used the Bible to justify slavery and invoked manifest destiny to slaughter women and children. We've made a mess of things, Jesus, often in your name. We could use a little micromanaging." How often do we think that things could just be straightened up if Jesus were here? Or how our own lives could be different? Maybe we could just be more confident about our faith. Perhaps our family could actually understand each other instead of talking past each other all the time. Maybe he would heal that friend who is dying as we watch helplessly. If he were just here. It's hard to let him go and believe there could be something better in store. Madeline L'Engle writes of the Ascension, "God became man, was born of a woman, and we would have liked to keep this man-child with us forever. And that kind of possessiveness leads to disaster, as most parents know." She goes on to write of her own experience of parenthood. "I looked at my last baby lying in his cradle, knowing that he was the last child I would bear, for I nearly didn't survive his birth. Looked, touched, listened, with an incredible awareness I might not have had if I had been able to expect to bear more children. As each change came, I had to let the infant that go was, go forever. When he was 7 months old, I weaned him as part of that essential letting go, letting him move on to child, little boy, young man, love and let go, love and let go." Letting go is part of love in this world. Any kind of love that is real, that is good, requires not trying to possess another or trying to even possess the moments we have with them. This time of year is especially heavy with change, moving on and having to practice love that is willing to let go and wait for what God has next. As we celebrate graduations, marking the end of many phases of life, as well as marking new steps. But it's not just our relationships with young people that are marked by change. Even the good, most good, wonderful, precious moments are always tinged with the knowledge of their impermanence. It could be due to some tragedy that we can't avoid, but it also can simply be just because we grow and change. We grow older and different stages of life move us apart. They also bring us closer together, but often that's hard to see. And in our world where the average person moves nearly 12 times in their life, we are used to knowing that friendships are likely to change regularly. And often, like Jesus ascending back into heaven, these changes are good. They are right and life as they should be. We know that to hold someone back would be detrimental to us all, and yet it is so hard to let go. But there is still a sadness, a wish to grasp time, to slow down and savor a good moment without having to always know that it is fleeting. And it is especially hard in this waiting time, when we cannot yet see and sometimes even envision the good that could possibly come next. Because the disciples surely could not imagine the goodness that came at Pentecost. How could they have imagined the tongues of fire resting on their heads but not burning them? How could they have imagined suddenly speaking in languages they did not know so that new people could hear the good news of Christ who had come to make all things new? How could they have imagined that Jesus would truly keep his promise to be with them always, that God's presence would never again let them be alone in a way they never before had known? How could they have imagined that Jesus had to leave in order for his promise to become true in new and wonderful ways? Because what is to come truly did change everything. Because even after the resurrection, when Jesus was among the disciples, they'd often gathered up in an upper room or had just gone back to their jobs fishing. They had gone back to normal life, not too much different from before Jesus was in their lives. The good news of Christ's resurrection and the new life available for all of the world wasn't going anywhere. But as Jesus was leaving, he promises that they will be his witnesses, not only in Jerusalem and Judea to their own people in their own town where Jesus had been working, but now new people would hear. People in Samaria, those always treated as outsiders, and even to the ends of the earth, people would now learn the good news. And this only happened when Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came. Jesus is no longer with us in his body because we are to be his body. We are his hands and his feet reaching out right here in our own community and being sent to the ends of the earth until all who are lost have been found, all who are hurting have been healed, and all who are dying inside from pain known and unknown have new life breathed into them and know that life abundant is nearby and can be had today right here among us. And until that time comes, we are called to follow Jesus by being a people on the move, a people who are growing and being sent out to carry the good news of life out to a world that desperately longs to hear it. And although he left, and all of our relationships are constantly changing, he promises that we will never be alone. Jesus promises that he will be with us on the journey to the end of the ages. So today we know with a tinge of sadness the changes that come in this season and in this life. But we do so as we celebrate that God is still raising up people, even calling us ourselves in new ways to do the work of the kingdom of peace and justice and love. And we wait today with hope to see what this God, who is always with us, will do among us next. Amen.